Stampede.
Garner is in 219, recorded 2/3/2024. Today, in this country, to say people are angry would be an understatement. In fact, their feelings across a variety of subjects and their daily interaction with one another are sometimes outright hostile, if not physically confrontational. This behavior may be a result of any combination of things. And certainly, sociologists and psychologists for decades have written about how and why the American public act the way they do. It could be the food we eat, the music we listen to, a reaction for receiving a parking ticket, or a moving violation, or even appearing in court to adjudicate those infractions. Then again, it could be the everyday stress of going to work to pay for rent or utility bills continually rising. Of course, taxes are another source of aggravation, especially if you have to fill out IRS forms and have them ready by April 15th, when post offices keep their doors open late so taxpayers can get their filings time-stamped correctly to avoid being late. And speaking of the post office, I remember a day when a postman walked down a city block, greeting people with a smile and a sense of human courtesy. But today, who can blame them for going postal? A uniquely American term describing anyone going crazy. I admire postmen and women who have to sort through hundreds of pieces of mail and deliver it in an orderly manner to the right people every day. I can understand why some of them become angry. Of course, there's that bigger picture of Americans being distrustful of our government, or put another way, becoming enraged about the government interfering in our lives. While still young, once coming downstairs in my family's home to find my mother talking to two FBI agents, warning her about her association with someone K connected to a left-wing organization. My mother thanked them and told them to mind their own business and said she associated with whomever she liked. She wished them a farewell and ushered them out of our house and said, "So much for being patriotic, Eddie. But Americans have good reason to be unhappy about our government using all sorts of surveillance." Government spying on Americans is nothing new, but it's now become something affecting the entire population of this country. We now have government agencies looking, listening, and even following millions of Americans. Even so, it doesn't seem to be effective in preventing the looting of big box stores or even everyday people being assaulted while walking down the street or while standing and waiting for a subway train or even policemen being attacked by gangs of teenagers. No, the vast and untethered spying on the entire American public is done to protect the security of the government and not the general population from injuring or killing each other. Normally, before you can listen to someone's telephone conversations or open private email, it's necessary for a law enforcement officer to go before a judge to get an authorization to break into a house, listen to someone on the phone, plant listening devices in private places of businesses, or any other means of interfering with the lives of individuals. We like to say we're a country of laws, but it's become increasingly obvious the people in charge of conducting themselves lawfully do as they like. And I'm talking about people who run government agencies like the CIA, the Homeland Security Agency, and even the Pentagon. Since 2013, when Edward Snowden fled America with an unspecified number of secret documents, some estimated at 1.5 million documents, it was proven Snowden, through various journalists and publications worldwide, had genuine information that the U.S. government was conducting worldwide surveillance, and that the information he had was more than the secret lives of what people were saying or doing, but rather various intelligence and law enforcement agencies being able to intercept or decode information distributed by private internet and telephone companies. In the true meaning of the word freedom, Americans were not free. Americans are not free to communicate privately or even think private thoughts without our government knowing what those communications or thoughts are all about. Unfortunately, it's true that the people who hold office in our federal government are not concerned about the well-being of their constituents, but rather that they're gainfully employed and have a job that pays them a salary. They say they come to serve the people, but in reality, they come to be employed and retain power. So their interests are concerned in protecting and preserving the government they work for and not the people. That's their true motivation, self-preservation of a system that guarantees a paycheck for them. So law enforcement agencies such as the CIA or the Homeland Security, listening into people's private conversations or randomly visually documenting the faces of millions of people by surveillance cameras located in various places in this country are not an attempt to protect the general public, but to assure the government is safe. You see, Americans have been weakened by an enhanced sense of manipulation promoted by politicians that they're working for the people's best interest. But in truth, they don't care about us. They don't really care that over 110,000 people die from fentanyl overdoses. They don't care if our military are stationed around the world, because that assures the calls that come from the production of weapons by our military-industrial complex for building a war economy and not a bread-and-butter economy. It's more important that the profits of war are continued, resulting in inflation no longer being transitory, but embedded. No, we aren't the recipients of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. No, that's just a deceit to keep you thinking everything will be all right. Well, it's not going to be all right. You're being used, made to believe the people in power, our congressmen, our senators, or even the president, are concerned about our well-being, when in truth, they only care about protecting and preserving their hold on power. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Americans are waking up to what's happened, and the country's future is seeing an unpleasant truth. You can be sure of one thing. It should be viewed with a sense of skepticism when machine politicians come to serve in the government receiving a cut in their annual salary from a previous job and saying they're working on behalf of the American people. Most politicians who are aggressive in the business world, making millions of dollars, and now say they come to serve the people, may not be telling the truth. Someone like Jeff Bezos, who has made billions of dollars and buys a newspaper like the Washington Post, has an agenda to promote and protect his own interests and the values he wants communicated to the American public. People who enter government, who seek power, usually don't do it to promote policies that aren't aligned with what and how they may have acquired wealth in their private lives. Some may seek power because they never had privilege or wealth, saying when they were young, they came to this country with their parents who were poor immigrants, and as proof of the American dream, managed to work up the ladder of success to become a senator in the U.S. government. Or came from poverty and discrimination to be elected as a U.S. congressman or congresswoman. But be assured of one thing, people who seek power often do it for other reasons than to serve the interests of the people they represent. Take, for example, a U.S. senator who was recently arrested for having hundreds of thousands of dollars and gold bars stored in his house. Or even an attorney general, a person with authority to determine legal indictments for criminals, saying, as a general practice, she kept thousands of dollars stored in her house. No, people who seek power or who have had power for a long time in government should be viewed with a degree of distrust. And I'm not exaggerating when I say there's a lot of distrust on the part of the American people for what our governmental officials do. The process of machine politics in and of itself maintains people automatically being re-elected and a major source of corruption in our governments. That's right. You bought into the oldest trick in the book. You believed them when they told you everything was going to be all right. All we needed were fast and powerful weapons that the best money could buy. That's what they told you. So we could tell everybody else in the world we had the strength to prove we were right. It didn't matter that our politicians drove our government into bankruptcy, distorting and deceiving the American people, keeping us believing we knew how to come out on top. They said the rest of the world admired us. They wanted to be like us, but not even the propagandists couldn't prevent what was being seen in this country. Forget about the mass killings to children in schools or people congregating in churches, the 50-plus random killings by a gunman shooting people at a concert in Las Vegas, the Ponzi schemes by the Enron company, and the billions stolen by Bernie Madoff. We were guaranteed a better life, but children graduating from schools are unable to read or write at the sixth grade level. Yeah, we'll always come out on top because we let artificial intelligence do the thinking for us. All we ever needed was to keep consuming, and we'd never have to worry about anything. That's right. That's what this country was all about. The business of America is and always will be business. It didn't matter that the government couldn't pay for all that it promised, because it could just print as much money as it wanted. So what if it just became worthless pieces of paper? Yeah, but they've got plans to fix what's wrong. But like all things, even false promises come to an end. If the American people distrust our government, and the government distrusts the American people, we'll be living with pride for what this country once was, and will never be again. But don't worry, we can still celebrate the 4th of July, believing this is a free and independent country. And you know what? We can still celebrate knowing we're something special. This week on Garner Isn't, you heard music from two movie soundtracks. First, the music by Hans Zimmer and James Newton Howard for the 2008 movie Dark Knight. Why so sad? Then from the 2022 movie Death on the Nile, you heard Patrick Doyle's composition A Single Bullet, followed by more work by Doyle, Goodnight Jax, and then more from Death on the Nile, Suspects. Again, a return to The Dark Knight, a cut of I'm Not a Hero, and to close, a cut of Aggressive Expansion by Zimmer and Howard. Stampede, written and performed by Edward Garner in Morro Bay and Paso Robles, California.